I thought that in a few minutes I could share with you. I might share a few thoughts that I have. I have a poem that's one of my favorite poems. You've probably heard it before, but it's touched me immensely in my life. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "What am I bidden, good folks?" he cried. "Who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar? A dollar? Then two? Only two? $2, and who'll make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three, but no." From the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loose strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as a caroling angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bid for the old violin?" And he held it up with a bow. $1,000. And who'll make it two? $2,000. And who'll make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, and going and gone, said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, "We do not quite understand. What changed its worth?" Swift came the reply, "The touch of a master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once, he's going twice, he's going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that's wrought by the touch of the master's hand. I love that, because I would like today to look at a few times when the master's touched someone's life. One of the first instances that comes to my mind is in the book of Matthew. It's in the chapter, 8th chapter of Matthew. The Savior has just been up in the Mount, or up on the sermon, delivered the Sermon on the Mount. And as he comes down, multitudes around him, this little experience happens. Watch for the touch of the Master. Verse 2, "And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him." You know, honestly, if we consider that, that sounds a little bit out of the ordinary, doesn't it? A leper coming and talking to someone. In the Old Testament, New Testament times, for a leper to come down, it was required for him to stand off to the side of the road, ring a bell, yell, "Leper, unclean, unclean," and move off to the side of the road so people didn't have contact with the leper. But this leper didn't do that. He came to the Savior. Notice what he asks him. "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And Jesus, look at this, Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. And touched him. The master's touch. I don't imagine it was just with one finger, do you? Touching him. "Oh, I will." I think it was a touching, loving touch. Down looking at him. "I will," said the Lord. "Be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. The power of the master's touch. The master cleanses a leper. One of my favorite spots is in Mark chapter 5. Two stories in one of the master's touch. The man Jairus comes to the master. Multitudes surrounding Jesus Christ. Isn't that interesting? Always multitudes surrounding him. Comes to him and says, "Lord, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Wilt thou come and touch her?" In fact, let me read you his words here. He said, "I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." I've always loved President Hunter's quote. Here's what he said. "These are not the words of a faith of a father torn with grief, but they are the reminder to us that whatever Jesus Christ lays his hands upon lives. If Jesus lays his hands upon a marriage, it lives. If Jesus lays his hands, or is allowed to lay his hands on the family, it lives. So there's this man coming and begging the Savior to go. You know what's really interesting to me is that the Savior doesn't hesitate. He goes with the man. He's going to go to the home and touch the woman, or touch the little girl and heal her. But on his way, a woman who's been sick for 12 years with a blood disease reaches out and touches the hem of the garment of Jesus Christ. Do you remember the story? And she's healed by touching the Master's hem. And Jesus Christ stops and turns around. He says an interesting question. Who touched me? And the interesting thought to me is, I think Jesus knew who touched him. So the question wasn't for him to find out. He knows. It was for the woman. And can you imagine the apostles and all the mass of people around him? I can just imagine as they turned and looked and said, who touched you? Lord, who didn't touch you? And he said, no, I felt virtue go out. And the woman comes forward and says, it was I. And he says, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go thy way. And so she is healed by the touch. But you know what's interesting to me is in that story, there's another story taking place. And I'm thinking, what about Jairus? What is he doing at the whole time this is taking place? If I'm that father and it's my 12-year-old daughter, I'm over there standing looking at my clock saying, please hurry. Who cares who touched you? Come touch my daughter. Please. And yet he doesn't do that. But immediately after he talks to the woman and tells her to go her way, that she's been healed by her faith, then he looks to Jairus and the mob splits and in comes a servant from the house of Jairus and says, bother not the master anymore. Your little girl has died. And do you know what Jesus says? It's amazing to me. He said, be not afraid, only believe, only believe. And then he goes with him. They come to the house and the mob is out there mourning already and everything. And then it says in the scriptures, Jesus said to them, why do you make such an ado over nothing? She is not dead, she lives. And they laughed him to scorn, the scriptures say. They laughed the master, Jesus Christ, to scorn. And then he said, he took Peter, James, and John, the parents, and went into the house. Comes to where the little girl lies. And believe me, she is dead at that point. But the master has touch. His touch has power over life and over death. And as he looks down, he reaches down and he grabs that little hand, that 12-year-old girl. And he says, damsel, arise. And the little girl had no choice. The spirit entered again and she sat up, a living soul. The touch of the master. Twice, one woman healed from a disease of 12 years and another little girl raised from the dead. Well, that's the master's touch in scripture, and you can find it many different places. There's many different stories that go that way. But I want to read to you a story from Elder Ballard where he's talking about the spiritual touch of the master's hand that came into his life. He told this in, I think it was 1980, October General Conference. He said this, finally, may I share how the Lord will touch our personal lives through our own faith and prayers? A beautiful baby girl came to our son's home, only to stay with them here on earth for less than 5 months. The love and care given to her by her parents was deeply touching. The struggle of this infant granddaughter for life was almost more than we could bear. The night before her passing, we went to the hospital, giving what support we could to our children. Later that evening, in my son's home, catch this, Elder Ballard, his mother and I knelt with him and prayed for guidance. And when we returned to the hospital, and I took my tiny little grandchild's hand and looked at her, I felt the Savior's touch. Into my mind came these words, as though spoken by her to me. Don't worry, Grandpa. I'll be all right. Peace came into my heart. The Master's touch fell upon all of us. Soon thereafter, she was released to go home again to her heavenly parents. Oh yes, he says, we can feel the Savior's touch and we can help others feel that divine touch. We can bless each other by reaching out to the wayward youth, the less active adult, the widowed, the aged, the sick, to all of God's children everywhere, whether of our faith or not. We somehow need to realize the vital importance of feeling the blessings of the gospel and the peace of the Lord in our lives individually. We can bless each other when we administer the Savior's touch to the benefits of our fellow men, reaching out and touching others. Too many papers. I was in a seminary class once, and I hope you'll forgive me for a personal note. In a seminary class one day, and I don't know how many of you have had the opportunity of teaching, but some days when you teach one time and you look around and you think, well, that didn't go so well. And you think, maybe it's time to change somehow and that type of thing. Some of you smiled. Maybe you've had an experience similar to that. I had that experience one day in a class this many years ago. I thought I had the most wonderful lesson prepared, only to find out that it didn't work well except for putting people to sleep. Well, I had turned around. It was lunchtime. After the class was over, I turned around. It was back. I didn't have a whiteboard back then, so that's how long ago it was. It was a blackboard. I'm erasing the blackboard. All the students had left the classroom. I heard the door open. I turned around, and one of my students came in and sat down in the middle of the room and started to sob. I went back and said, oh my goodness, I didn't think the lesson was that bad. But and she sat there and sobbed, and I looked at her and said, what's up? And she said, the scripture we read in class today. I said, what scripture was it? And she said, Doctrine and Covenants, section 18. So I went to section 18. She said, I've never seen this verse this way before, she said, as it did in class today. She said, we focus always on verse 10 and verse 15 and 16, but she said the one that caught my heart was verse 11. Can I read that to you? For behold, the Lord your Redeemer suffered death in the flesh. Wherefore he suffered the pain of all men, that all men might repent and come unto him. She said, when we read that in class, it hit me. She told me that in her car, she had under her front seat and had plans that lunch hour of taking the butcher knife that she'd taken from home and putting under her seat, driving up above the city and in her car, slitting her wrists. She said life had been tough. She couldn't believe the things that had been happening in her life. And she said, I could only think the only way out. And then she said, then we read that scripture. And you see, the touch of the Master. He reached out and touched her heart. I took the butcher knife from her, and we talked a little bit more about things. But you can see, can't you? The touch of the Master through scriptures individually. President Spencer W. Kimball said, God does notice us and he watches over us, but is usually through another person that he meets our needs. Therefore, it is vital that we serve each other in the kingdom of God. Brother Joseph Smith, I love Joseph Smith's stories, don't you? Joseph Smith had a secretary named Robert Thompson. Robert Thompson was a wonderful man. He had married a woman named Mercy Thompson. Between the two of them, they had a little daughter. I believe the daughter's name was Sarah, but don't hold me to that. I'm getting older and my memory goes quickly. But I think her little name was Sarah. I think she was about 6 years old. Robert Thompson passed away a couple weeks after the death of Don Carlos Smith, the prophet's brother. And it was unexpected. Mercy took it very hard. From what I understand and from what I read, she said that one day, while at home having a rough day, the prophet Joseph and Emma came in a wagon and picked them up. They went and got in the wagon with them. rode down the street. Joseph put Sarah in the back of the wagon. Mercy said, at some point in the story, she said she watched as the prophet Joseph took her little daughter out into the fields and picked wildflowers with the little girl whose daddy couldn't go and pick flowers with her now. That's the touch of the Master's hand through somebody else, isn't it? I saw it with a young, I think she was about 5 or 6 year old girl one day. She came up to me. I was in a ward and she had her hand like this. She came up and she just took my hand and put something in my hand. I looked down and in my hand were sitting 2 pennies. And she said, "President, I want you to help someone." 2 pennies. Do you know, I've got those 2 pennies now in my steak office. They sit on the cabinet there to remind me to help others, to touch others. Now, don't worry about it. I did take 2 other pennies and send them off to the church so that there are 2 pennies somewhere helping somebody. Okay? But I do think, can you see the touch of the Master's hand in a small child who wants to share? We were at, if you want a real interesting experience, you have to come to a Monson family home evening. Many years ago, my 17-year-old son built a pulpit, so we had a pulpit in the house. It was one of those that we could pick up and carry outside and put on the deck and then bring it in every Monday night. The kids always fought over who got to be the conductor because they got to stand behind the pulpit and say something, words to the effect, "Welcome to family night. My name is Daddy presides and he's asked me to conduct." All right. And so they liked that position because then they could stand at the pulpit and be in control. We also had an assignment for someone to read a scripture. And my oldest twin son, that you won't know what that means anyway, but one of my children, okay, stood up to the pulpit. Well, they give the announcements, and he had the scripture. So he went down the hall and he came out to sit on the couch next to me. And he had you've seen those little blue Book of Mormons, haven't you? Little blue Book of Mormons with Angel Moroni and gold on the front of them, right? He went down the hall and got his little blue Book of Mormon and came out and sat down next to me. And they announced, whoever was conducting announced what was going to take place. And then Caleb had the scripture. And he stood up to go read his scripture. He was only 4 or 5. And I said, "Caleb, would you like some help?" And he said, "No, Dad, I can do it myself." And he walked up to the front and he opened up his little blue Book of Mormon to the index upside down. And he looked out to make sure everyone was watching. And then he looked down and he read, "Jesus said, I love Caleb." And he closed the book and walked over and sat down. Touch of the Master? Touch of the Master in the life of a little boy? Yeah. Jesus does love Caleb. Along with all the rest of us, doesn't he? I'm not so dumb that I don't realize some nights, and honestly, I don't want this to sound bad, but since my oldest 2 twins, who are now 12, since their birth, I've not been able to sit with my family in church meetings. I've been in a position where I have to go and sit up on the stand. And my wife, bless her heart, she is marvelous. She keeping everything going in the family and everything that way. Well, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I don't have to be to notice that when I come home some nights, and this one happened several years ago, I walked through the door, hands on the hip, and she said something like this, "Your son, when he becomes mine, I know that something's happened." Okay? "Your son is not listening to me. I had a rough night. He's not going to bed like he's supposed to. His light is still on down in his bedroom." Well, not being a rocket scientist, I still recognize that what she's telling me is, "You go take care of this." So I did. I was a little bit perturbed. started down the stairs. There's just the last door. You just go down the hallway all straight down, and it's the last door. You just go straight. You run right into it. That's where his room was. And in that room, the light switch is around the corner. I was going to come in there, and I was going to go around. And thank heavens, I'm slowed down some a little bit. I was going to come around there and say, "It's time for bed," and turn off the light, right? If I'd have done that, I would have missed one of the great experiences in my life when the Master touched my heart that night. There sat my son. I think he was 10, 12, somewhere in that vicinity. He had his scriptures open. I come in there and say, "You're reading." And he had his scriptures open on his lap. He had a red pencil. And he had marked one verse in scripture. I'm going back. It's one we've talked about already. This is in Mark chapter 5. But he said, he looked up at me and he said, "Dad, I've got a scripture I want to share with you." I said, "Really?" So I walked over and sat down next to him on the bed. He had marked it, a red pencil, two lines in Mark chapter 5. He said, "Dad, I was reading this story. I've got a good feeling." And he started to mark and he read these verses to me. This verse, verse 28. "For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.'" He looked up at me and he said, "Dad, I want to touch Jesus. I want to touch Jesus." Well, you know, that night, I think I touched Jesus. He touched my heart. I felt him that very night. I felt him in my heart and soul. In Mark chapter 4 is one of the great stories. And I think in the world we live in, this touch of the Master is so important. Verse 35, Mark chapter 4. "The same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, 'Let us pass over unto the other side.' And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship. And there were also other little ships with them. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full." Do you know, I was thinking the other day, I think that's the day we live in. The ship we're in is being beaten by the winds and the storms of this world, isn't it? "And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, 'Master, carest thou not that we perish?'" Does he care? What's the whole reason he came to this earth? To make sure we don't perish, isn't it? "Carest thou not that we perish?" "And he," Jesus Christ, "arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." My dear brothers and sisters, I believe with all my heart that in the world you live in, when the storm gets wild, when the winds are blowing, when it looks tough, I believe with all my heart, if you come to the Savior, you will hear him whisper three words as he touches your heart and soul. And those three words are, "Peace, be still." He's in control. He is in control. He can touch us no matter where we are, no matter what the trial, the affliction, the difficulty you have in your life. He can touch your heart and soul. He can reach out. I have a testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ with all my heart. I don't know that you'll remember much of what I said, but I do want you to remember this. I do know with all the power of my soul, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. His touch can change lives. This is his church, restored through the prophet Joseph Smith in the latter days. It is led today by a living prophet, President Gordon B. Hinckley. I know that as sure as I know I'm standing here in front of you today. I know the scriptures are true. I know that they can touch your hearts. I know that if you'll seek Him through scripture study and prayer, you'll find Him. He will touch you. And you too will be blessed in these times of trouble. God bless you. I'm grateful for the opportunity I had to come and be with you. You're wonderful, and the spirit you have is marvelous. And I pray for the richest blessings to be upon your heads. And I do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.